Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Oh, let's thank God for the Word today, can you? Oh, thank you for the Word. Well, we're in a series called A Better Life. A Better Life. And that's what, as your pastor, that's what I want for you. I want you to have a better life. I want you to have the God kind of life. Now, I don't know how you would describe your life today. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm going through a season. I've got a boring life. I just feel like I've plateaued. I haven't felt God in a long time. I'm struggling through spiritually. I'm struggling with my faith. It's just boring right now to me. Reading the Bible, even, Pastor, sorry to say, going to church, quiet time, I flatlined. It's a boring life. Or maybe you're here or online today and you would describe your life as a broken life. I've got good news for you. My Jesus is here today to heal the brokenhearted. Maybe you say, Pastor, I've got a busted life. I'm struggling financially. That's why we provide for you the Dave Ramsey courses. It costs thousands of dollars. You buy a permit for a church our size, it costs thousands of dollars. But because we love you and inflation is out there and it's going up, so what are we doing at Church on the Rock? We're giving you a tool and a resource to help you through this season so that you won't struggle financially. Please see it. It's only for 1 year, and it's free to you to help you no longer live a barely get by life. I don't want you to have a barely get by life. I don't want you to struggle emotionally, physically. You see, Pastor, in my life right now, I need a better life physically. I need a better life emotionally. Pastor, the torment that I've been going through, the devil, the lies, I need relief. I need healing. Well, I just want you to know you're in the right place. You're in the right place at the right time because I'm here to make the difficult simple. I'm here to make the difficult simple. I'm here to add value to you and solve problems. Is that okay? So if you'll stay with me for 29 minutes, I promise you, you'll have a better life, better health, better finances, better peace, better joy, better sleep, better relationships, a better life as a result of being here today at Church on the Rock. Are y'all ready for that? Okay, well, let's just get right into it today. I know you're taking notes with me. John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh. Well, we could stop right there and talk all day. Who's the thief? Your adversary. My adversary. Who's the thief? Not God. The thief is the devil. So anything, everybody say anything. Anything that steals from me, that robs me, that tries to kill me, family, dream, goals, health, relationships, isn't from God. Anything bad is not from God. Now, you know the Bible talks about don't tempt the Lord your God. Did you know that's in the Bible? Don't tempt the Lord your God. And we're looking at the story 2 weeks ago and today of the children of Israel. You know, they came out of Egypt and they were going to the promised land, but they didn't make it. They died off in the wilderness. Egypt is a type of the world and the world system. Egypt is a type of being a slave and having a slave mentality. Well, God raised up a deliverer, and he led them out to lead them in. It was God's will for them to go into the land of abundance. The promised land, Canaan land, is a type and shadow of the abundant life. It's God's will for you to have an abundant life, a life full of joy, peace, happiness, confidence, health, more than enough, not barely getting by. Okay, that's God's will for you. But those people didn't make it in. And it says of them in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, look back and learn from them. Look back and learn from them. And it says that they tempted God in the wilderness. How can we tempt God? Would you like to know how? When you and I speak evil of God, we're tempting God. When you and I speak evil of God, we're tempting God. Now, that was worth coming to church, coming online right there. So when I give God bad press, I'm speaking evil of God. I'm tempting the Lord my God. You and I are to always speak good of our God. You and I are to declare that anything good comes from God. You and I are to bless the Lord. How can you bless the Lord? By speaking of his goodness. God is a
good God.
And he's good
all the time.
You just bless the Lord. But when I blame God for my sickness, I blame God for my divorce, I blame God for the incest, I blame God for the drug addiction, I blame God for losing my job, I blame God for a miserable life, I'm tempting him. I'm speaking evil of God. And when I claim bad things in my life and I blame God, I'm tempting the Lord my God. You and I are to bless him. And how do we bless him? By talking about his goodness, his greatness, his kindness. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And forget not all of his benefits, who healeth all of my diseases and forgives all of my sin and renews my strength like the youth. Oh, and when I do that, I'm blessing the Lord. But when I blame God and I have a victim mentality and I curse God and I attribute tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes and rape and incest and drugs and alcoholism and divorce and bankruptcy and sickness and disease, and I say it was God who did it, I'm tempting him. Because those people in the wilderness, what were they doing? Complaining about God. God, why would you bring us out here in the desert to kill us? God, why couldn't you leave us back in Egypt? We had it far better. Man, they had forgot their past, hadn't they? It wasn't better back there. Now, this is worth coming to church for, because this will change the course of your life. This will put you on a different frequency with God. This will put you on a different lane with God. Every time we blame God for something bad, every time we curse God and say, God, it was your fault. God, why didn't you do it? God, why did this happen? And we attribute bad things to God. We're tempting the Lord our God. But when you and I at Church on the Rock, like y'all been doing this morning, we talk about his greatness. We talk about his kindness. We talk about his forgiveness. We talk about his acceptance. We talk about his deliverance. We talk about his patience with us. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We're blessing the Lord our God. You know, raising our two sons, I always told them anything good came from God. Anything good came from God. Dr. Lester Summerall, who's in heaven, was a mentor of ours. And I always remember when I was around him, Dr. Summerall would always be saying, God is good. God is good. God is good. What a great response to difficulty, struggle, disappointment, rejection, persecution. What a great response. I don't know what's going on, but I know this. God is good. And I know this. God is for me. How about y'all? Can we give him praise right now? Give him glory right now? Can you speak good of him right now? Can you bless the Lord right now? Oh, hallelujah. So here's what I know. The thief cometh. The thief is the devil. Here's what I know. The devil's after you. He's after me. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy your marriage, your health, your finances, your calling, your career, your business, your relationship, your church attendance, your tithing. The devil comes. Your witnessing. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the good news at Church on the Rock, you've got a pastor who loves you, and I arm you. I arm you. We give you resources to fight the good fight of faith. We give you resources to recognize what's of God and what's of the devil. Amen, somebody. So the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come. Wow. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more. Daniel sang it today in his song, God Has More. Turn to somebody and just tell them, God has more for you. Would you do that? Why settle for less than God's best? Why go through life and end up in heaven and see the warehouse that was full of all that could have been yours, right? So he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Wow. Okay, now let's look at it in the Message translation. A thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have real and eternal life. Here's where I got the title for our series, More and a Better Life. Here's where I got the title for our series, Better Life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have a better life than you could ever dream of. That's the God that we serve, Church on the Rock. That's the God that we know, amen, that we have a good God and he's for you. And he loves you, and he cares about you, and he knows what you're going through, and he said he would never leave you, and he would never forsake you. So stop putting your feelings above the word. Oh, I hope you got that. Well, I just feel like God has left me. I just feel like God doesn't care. I just feel like God isn't there. I just feel like God let me down. You're putting your feelings above what the word says. The word says he'll never leave you. The word says he'll never forsake you. The word says he will never disappoint you. The word says he will never stop loving you. Now, we may feel like we're unloved. We may feel like we're left alone. We may feel like God's mad at us, but that's our feelings. And feelings are fickle. Amen, somebody. But what do feelings do? Keep you out of the rain. Maybe. Praise the Lord. All right, so a thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have real and eternal life, more and a better life. Say a better life. A better life than you ever dreamed of. Am I looking at dreamers today? I hope I'm looking at dreamers today. And online, I hope I'm talking to dreamers today. You're in a church, you're sitting in a dream. We dreamed this long before it was ever built. Amen. So we have a God that wants to give. Can we just establish the fact a life better than you can ever imagine? Better than you can ever imagine. So how do I go from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset? Because you do know that lack is under the curse, right? Barely getting by is under the curse of the law. Now, again, we've been looking at the story of the children of Israel. When they were in Egypt, they were slaves with a slave mindset. One of their big problems is that God led them out of Egypt, but they never got Egypt out of them. I'm going to say that one more time. Moses, he led them out of Egypt. That's the world system. But the problem is, in the wilderness, they fell short of God's better life. God's will didn't come to pass. For most people, God's will never comes to pass because they can't believe for it. They can't behave and believe and act upon what God has said over their feelings, over their past, over limiting beliefs and all of the above. Tradition, the way we were raised by our parents. So how do I go from a scarcity mindset to an abundant mindset? Because the children of Israel, God wanted to lead them from lack into abundance. Now remember, when they were in Egypt, that's the land of not enough. And then they went to the wilderness and God fed them supernaturally daily, right? They had just enough to get by. That's the land of even. But God wanted to take them to the land that was flowing with milk and honey. The promised land, Canaan land. And that's the land or the state of life of overflow or abundance. Say it with me. It's God's will for me to live in the overflow. Now, not for selfish gain, but so you can fulfill your purpose that God has for you, that you can fulfill the purpose God has for your family, and that you can fulfill God's purpose for the local church you're a member of. That's what the overflow's for. It's not for selfish gain. It's not for covetousness or jealous or being jealous or envious of somebody else. The overflow is to fulfill God's purpose for your life. The overflow is to fulfill God's purpose for your family, your children, your grandchildren, and the local church you're a part of. But how do I go from a scarcity mindset to an abundant mindset? Would you like to know?
Yes.
Come back next week, same time, same bed. Okay, praise God. Scarcity is built on the foundation of fear. Scarcity. Scarcity is built on the foundation of fear, and scarcity is built by focusing on limitations. I don't want to be this person. I don't want you to be this person that you talk about what you can't do, where you can't go, what you can't have. And you know them, and I know them, and don't look at them. But you and I know them, those people that all they're talking about is their limitations. Wish I could, but I can't. I would like to, but it won't happen. They talk about always what they can't do, what they can't have, and where they can't go. And what they're doing is feeding on their limitations, and what they're doing is building a mindset of scarcity and lack. And lack is under the curse. And we're redeemed from the curse. Okay? Scarcity is built on the foundation of fear, focusing on limitations, and has that mindset of not enough. Like to, but never be able to afford it. Never have enough. A scarcity feeds on negativity. If all you do is on social media and all you do is on the media and the news and the negativity, it's only going to enhance a scarcity mindset. Feeding on negativity feeds a scarcity mindset. So I was talking to someone the other day who's a speaker who comes through here about every year that's nationally known, and he said to me, I never watch the news. I said, really? He goes, I never watch the news. This guy is nationally known. One of our speakers that we have come through here every year. He said, I never watch the news. He said, I got just enough to know what's going on. But he said, the news feeds negativity in my life. And I will never have God's best being a negative person. Am I helping somebody today? So already you should be making some adjustments. And me too. Less social media. Less news. Yeah. Already, if we're going to go from scarcity to abundance, if we want to go from lack to overflow, then we're going to have to make a shift. We're going to have to make some changes, because scarcity is built on the foundation of fear, and God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but we know that what you fear will come upon you. Job, right? Job, we learn from Job. We learn from Job. Because he said, the thing that I fear comes upon me. And we want to learn from other people's experiences. Am I right? Anybody like to play miniature golf other than, anybody like to play miniature? Some of you are anointed. You like to play miniature golf? Well, our family of eight, Kim and I and our kids and grandkids, there's eight of us. And we like to play miniature golf. But if you've ever played miniature golf with us, there's a couple people in that group that want to be the last ones up to tee off. Now, why is that? Because they're watching everybody who was before them where they hit it wrong. so they won't repeat and hit it in the same spot. Aren't they? Is it Pastor Kid? I mean, isn't that something? Do they do that? That they want to play? That they want to hit, tee off, be the last person of the eight so they can see where not to hit the ball. They're learning from the rest of our experiences. Well, let's learn from Job. The thing that he feared came on him. You got to resist the spirit of fear. You can't sign for that package. Scarcity feeds on negativity. And look at this. Scarcity feeds on complaining. So the more that I complain, the more I'm a magnet for scarcity. Do you remember we're learning from the children of Israel? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, learn from them. And it said, in the wilderness, they complained. That's all they did. They complained. Complaining will never move you forward. Complaining will never move us forward. Joyce Myers, if you complain, you remain. Complaining will get me stuck. Complaining will keep me from progressing. Complaining will keep the right people away from me. Complaining will keep the resources I need away from me. Complaining is a disease. Complaining. So scarcity is built on the foundation of fear, and God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. It's focusing on limitations all the time, focusing on never having enough, what I can't do, where I can't go, what I can't have, and it feeds on negativity. So you and I, we walk away from this church service, we need to evaluate our life and get rid of some negative relationships. Got real quiet on that. Well, are all your friends negative? I hope not. Praise God. Get rid of some negative news. We're already learning. Remember, we're doers of the word of God. We come here to learn to implement immediately what we're learning in church. It's a doer of the word. We talked about that. So they feed on negativity and they complain. Wow. All right, we have a little rubber band bracelet that we've given our dream team down through the years, and it says, no complaining, no excuses. Wow, that's powerful. That's so powerful. We could quit right there, and we've learned enough already. Abundance is built on the foundation of God's word. Whoa, what does the word say? What does the word say? We're going to have to unlearn a lot of things that we learned growing up. What does the word say? Abundance in that mindset is built on the foundation of God's word and God's will and his ways. That's huge. Now what my parents said, my grandparents said, the Pope, the priest, the pastor, the teacher, the professor, my enemies, my friends, my peers, my homies, it's not what they say, but what does the word say? We read it today. Jesus came that you might have life and a better life than you've ever dreamed of. I didn't hear a whole lot of that growing up in church. So abundance is built on the foundation of God's word. I have to believe it's God's will to give me this kind of a life. I have to believe it's God's will, and it's God's way, and it's God's plan for me. How to make the shift and start living the abundant life? I want to know how. I want to change the trajectory of my life. I don't want to live an average Christian life. I don't want to barely get by. I don't want to release a generational curse on my kids of always talking about not enough, barely struggling, barely getting by, never make it, never have it. I don't want to pass that curse on down and have a generational curse of scarcity and lack. So how do I make the shift and start living the abundant life? How do I do that? So again, my calling is to make difficult things very simple. So I want to give you seven simple keys. Can I do that? I know I'm not supposed to give you more than three, but I kind of always been a rebel anyway. Is that all right? Praise God. So number one, it starts becoming aware, being aware, self-aware, you know, all breakthrough and Celebrate Recovery, where we help you if you're struggling in areas of your life. It all starts with an awareness, self-aware. I got to stop denying. I got to stop blaming. I got to get rid of that victim mentality. And I got to become self-aware. All breakthrough starts by becoming aware. So I got to be aware of my beliefs and my behaviors. And I have to ask myself, now I was raised in the church by a Christian family, and I love my mom and dad. They were blue collar, average middle income family, and the church, I love it. But they did not believe in abundance mindset. They told me and taught me all the way growing up that God will meet your needs, but don't ask for anything more. And I always heard this, why can't you just be content where you're at? Why do you always got to have more? Believe for more, okay? So I had to unlearn. I had to unlearn some religious teaching that was good, but didn't agree with the word, not all of it. Even what my parents said didn't agree with what the word said. So I got to become aware of my beliefs and my behaviors, because whatever I believe, I'm behaving. Whatever I believe, if I believe I'll never have enough, I'm acting like it. If I believe it'll never happen, I'm acting like it, right? So I got to become aware of my beliefs and my behaviors. Do I behave in front of my children, grandchildren, friends, and peers like I have an abundant mindset? Am I talking abundance? Am I talking increase? Am I talking more than enough? Am I not tempting the Lord thy God by talking evil about God and blaming God for sickness and disease and lack and poverty and wars and hurricanes and tsunamis and tragedies? Am I tempting God by blaming God that way? Or am I talking about how I have a good God and my God's for me? And God has a life for me better than I could ever dream of. Now, if I believe that, I'm going to begin to act like it's so when it ain't so, so it can become so. I'm going to act that way, right? I'm going to act that way. When we started this church, we're 35 people. We had no buildings. We had no offices. We had diddly squat. We met in the Holiday Inn. My office was in the basement of our house. I would get up in the mornings, and I'd put on a three-piece navy blue suit, white shirt, and a red tie. Pastor, will we ever see that again? I'm redeemed. Praise God. I had a three-piece suit, navy blue, white shirt, red tie, and I had no place to go. We had 35 people. I had no place to go. I had no staff. I had nothing. Diddly squat. But what was I doing? Acting like it was so before it ever became so. You got to act like it. That's faith. So the first step in the shift is I got to be honest. Do I talk lack? Do I always tell my kids we can't afford it? Do I always tell them, you know, it'll never happen? You know, one of the things that Kim and I would tell our boys growing up, they wanted something, I would say, be it unto you according to your faith. Did you hear what I just said? Training your children to walk by faith and not by sight. I would say, way back when Daniel would come to me, he played basketball, and he wanted a new pair of Jordans, and back then they were like $100. And I go, according to your faith, Daniel. Believe according to your faith. I'm in agreement with you, son. Go for it. You don't want to say, we can't afford that. We'll never have that. Your family's never bad that. None of us have ever gone to college. We've never bought a new car. Pay off your house, like the couple said. Oh, my God. Got to get rid of that. Am I talking like that? I'm sabotaging. I'm derailing. I'm delaying that better life God has for me and you. So number one, I got to become aware. Am I helping anybody today? You see, I'm your spiritual chiropractor. Number two, because I want to see you this year thrive in 2025. Number two, your limiting beliefs, where did they come from? Your limiting beliefs. You do know we can limit God, right? Yes. Speaking of the children of Israel in the wilderness, it said they limited God with their grumbling and complaining and forgetting what he had done for them. So I got to ask myself, if I'm going to make this shift, you know, we have coming up, we just saw it. Simon T. Bailey, remember him, the Disney guy? He worked for Disney, and he's coming back and with us. He wrote a book called Shift. His whole book was about mind shift. Our guest speaker in a couple weeks, Simon T. Bailey, he worked executive for Disney. He's a motivational speaker, one of the top five in America right now. He's listed as one of the top five in all of America right now, and he's coming to be with y'all, amen. But he wrote a book on shift. And all he's talking about is shift, a mind shift, that your life will never shift until your mind makes a shift. So your limiting beliefs, where did they come from? For me, it come from, I love them dearly, so godly. I don't know a more godly man than my father, but a lot of mine came from my parents. And a lot of mine came, great church, Pentecostal church, they loved God, sold out to God. But a lot of my limiting beliefs for believing for a better life came from that, came from teaching that good, sounded good, but it really wasn't in alignment with God's word, God's will, and God's way. So you have to identify, where did your limiting beliefs, where did they come from? Number three, you got to change your thinking. You got to rewrite and renew your mind. You got to change your thinking from scarcity to abundance, a better life. Then I got to think better thoughts. Better life, better thoughts. I have to rewire, it should say, rewire and renew your mind. Rewire and renew your mind. You got to change the way you're thinking. We have to think better thoughts. Kim and I, Southwestern University Bible College, Waxahachie, Texas. We've gone 2 years and we had student loans up to our eyeballs, okay? So our third year, I said to Kim, we're not gonna do what everybody else is doing, go and get student loans. We're gonna believe God. We don't have a dime, we don't have a nickel. We're both working full-time jobs, going full-time college. I was, and I said, we're gonna do something different. We're not gonna apply for another student loan because we've already got thousands of dollars that we're gonna owe when we get out of college. So I said, we're gonna think different. We got a big God. God's for us. God can pay our tuition. God can make a way. So we started self-talk, changing the way we were talking. Instead of, it'll never work out. We'll never get a loan. It'll never happen. Why go back to school the third year? We began to change our self-talk and change the way that we were thinking to rewire and renew our mind to an abundant mindset. And I said to Kim, I said, I don't know how God's gonna do it, but I know God's gonna do it. I don't know how God's gonna do it, but I know God's gonna do it. God's not broke, God's not busted, God's a God of abundance. He's the El Shaddai, he's not El Cheapo, he's the God of more than enough. God's big enough to make this happen. So we begin to confess and speak and self-talk and rewire our mind and renew our mind in the Word of God to the will of God, to the Word of God, to the ways that God does things. So we went back the third year, Waxahachie, Texas, a student camp on the married dorms on the campus, and we went to apply to go to the third year to register. I didn't have a dime, didn't have a nickel, but I had a big God. Now, I'm not suggesting you do this, but I'm just saying we had to change the way we were thinking. We had to rewire and renew our mind to God's word, God's will. God's word is God's will, God's way of doing things. So I'm standing in line, long line. I have no money to enroll the third year. Have nothing, dada, squat, not a nickel, but I had a big God. Now, again, I had a rhema word. You will never go from Egypt into the promised land without circumcision. Now, remember when Joshua took over, the first thing he did was circumcise the males, all right? That's a type of getting rid of the flesh and being led by the Holy Spirit. You will never leave the land of lack, the land of barely get by, into the land of more than enough until you learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm taking too much time. Okay, so real quick, the story ends like this. I got up there and I had all my classes I was gonna take full blown, and the registrar said, what are you gonna do for money? I said, I really don't know. I said, this is our third year. I just feel like God doesn't want us to quit. I feel like God wants us to come back the third year. And he said, just wait a second. Went and got somebody from an office over there, came out and got me, took me back there, and gave me a scholarship for me to pay books, classes, and for Pastor Kim to go the third year. Scholarships paid the whole way. I got to change the way I think. Never happen, never get by. Number four, as the team comes, I got to develop an attitude of gratitude. I got to develop an attitude of gratitude. I got to be thankful for what I do have. I got to be thankful for where I am at. I got to be thankful for what God's already done. If I'm thankful for where I'm at, then God will give me more. I got to make room for more by being thankful and grateful. So really, my praise life is connected to my promotion. My praise and thanksgiving is connected to a life of abundance. So I got to work on an attitude of gratitude. How do I do that, Pastor? Every night before you go to bed, write down three things you're thankful for. Tonight, start tonight, write down three things in a journal you're thankful for. And do that every day until Jesus comes back. Number five, get out of your comfort zone. You got to get out of your comfort zone every day, random acts of generosity. You got to live to give. Random acts of generosity. To get out of the land of lack and the land of barely enough, you're going to have to give your way out. You're going to have to learn to live to give. You have to have a culture like our church of generosity. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone and plant seeds. We're not just talking money. We're talking time and talent, serve day, a dream team. We're talking about see a need and fill it, outreaches, the missionaries we support, missions trips. You got to get out of your comfort zone and every day do random acts of generosity, live to give. Kim and I are youth pastors. We got out of college. We were youth pastors at First Assembly of God in Ames, Iowa. We didn't make enough to pay our taxes. Here we are. Taxes are coming around April the 15th. We didn't make enough. The church, great church, but they just couldn't, they didn't, whatever, pay us enough to pay our taxes. So Kim and I had this habit. When we come home at night, you put your extra change in a glass jar, a Kerr glass jar. Anybody else do that? Six of us, okay. And we would have that habit. I learned that from my dad. I saw my dad do that. And so we put change in that glass jar at the end of the night. Well, we needed a miracle. We need to get out of the land of lack. So we sowed that the change that we have into the youth ministry of that church. Now, nobody knew what we were doing. We were just planting a seed. Just a couple of weeks later, one of the members of that church said to Kim and I, after a Sunday morning service, you know, we want you to come out to our car after church today. We have something for you. So after church that day, we went out to their car. They opened up their trunk, and in the back of their car, they were coin collectors. Their whole trunk of their car was full of a coin collection. What did we sow? Coins in a jar. The little extra that we had. Don't despise small beginnings. And so there was more than enough. They said, take it and find out what it's worth and sell it and do whatever you guys want to do. They didn't know what we needed, but God did. God is a good God. Okay? I took it downtown Ames to a coin place where you did, and there was more than enough to pay off our taxes and have some left over. Amen. You got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to look for ways and ideas. Number six, evaluate your relationships. I'm going just too long. Will y'all forgive me? I'm about done. Evaluate your relationships. You have to hang with abundance thinkers. Evaluate your relationships. Real quick, and I'm going way too long, but I feel like this is an important word because this is going to help you thrive in 2025. I have a friend in my life that told me a few weeks ago, didn't come to our church in another city, and he told me about this group of people that he's involved in. And they're a bunch of humanitarians, and they give to people and places and things and projects that are in need. And he was telling me, he said, yeah, Pastor, I just was able to enter that group. I said, that's awesome. He was telling me of some movers and shakers that are in that group. And he said, yeah, you have to give $250,000 a year just to be in that group. You have to give away $250,000 away, cash, every year just to be in that circle group of people. Amazing, isn't it? So what was he doing? Hanging out with another level of people who are abundant thinkers. Evaluate your relationships today. You have to learn to hang with people who think big abundance. Number seven, close with this, be patient with the process. Don't get in a hurry. Celebrate your progress. Don't let the devil shame you, guilt you, condemn you, harass you. Just be patient. Just start the process. Be patient with the process and celebrate every little bit of progress in Jesus' name. Seven ways to shift your mind from scarcity to abundance. If you got something from God's word, give him the glory, would you? Come on, give God the glory. Amen. Amen. Say it with me. I am a doer of the word of God. The word has fallen on good ground. In Jesus' name, I'm going from scarcity to more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.